welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. On the line, C.L. Bryant. Again, if you're just joining us, he is the author of a movie called Runaway Slave. Yeah. He is with FreedomWorks. He is a radio talk show host. He's also a former television host. And also Joel McNally from Charlottesville, Virginia, is on the line. Joel, you got a question you want to ask or a statement you want to make?
Certainly, for Pastor Bryant, you talked at the beginning and at the end of the last hour about election integrity, which is, of course, the code word that the Trump Republicans use for, you know, the fact that they have failed. They have failed to convince people that when Donald Trump loses, the election had to be stolen because, you know, he could not possibly lose. Or when all of his terrible candidates across the country lost, it had to be stolen from them. The elections had to be rigged against them. No, actually, the Republican Party and Donald Trump himself, by supporting violent overthrow of the government, is very unpopular. The reason that they, you know, this was supposed to be an election that was going to be a cakewalk for Republicans in the midterms. They were going to win a massive control of the House of Representatives, and it was going to be automatic, practically, and probably win the Senate, control of the Senate, too. The Democrats were much more at risk of losing seats in that election than Republicans were. But just the opposite happened. And not only Democrats already won control of the Senate, but Republicans are still struggling to even win the House of Representatives, even though, like Wisconsin, states all across America that are controlled by Republican legislatures have so corruptly gerrymandered the House districts, voting for the House districts, that, like in Wisconsin, when more people vote for Democrats for the House of Representatives than Republicans, they still win a majority because Wisconsin is one of the most gerrymandered Republican states in the country. So the only way they can win with unpopular views, like wiping out all abortions and the right for women to choose their own futures in this country, the right for families to decide how many children to have, that has been wiped out by the Trump Supreme Court. Let's admit that you lost a massive loss for Republicans in the midterms. It was supposed to be almost a lockstep sweep, a massive sweep nationally, and you lost.
Pastor Bryant?
As far as the people spoke, I fail to see what his argument is, that if we lose again, the people would have made their decision on that. That has nothing to do. Listen, I'm from Louisiana. Gerrymandering and that type of thing in a locally Democrat, Louisiana votes locally for Democrats, but they vote nationally Republican. And I think that there's a beautiful balance that goes on when one party controls one house and another party controls the other house. I have no argument with that. As far as if my opinion is unpopular with you, then fine, vote against it. That's not the argument. The argument is, do we, the people, still have control of our nation? And we don't, as far as that's concerned. And you can't tell me, and no, I'm not one of the people who is an election denier and all that type thing. I'm not one of those. And many Republicans are not. And keep in mind, I was a Democrat.
But Donald Trump is.
Donald Trump very well may say that, but you can agree or disagree with that point that he's making. It has nothing to do with the policy. The policy simply guided us into a place where we were prosperous. There's no denying that. We were. We were safe. Our enemies were on leashes. He had them there. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter. We were safe. We were much safer from our enemies then than we are now. No one can tell me, Earl, that Joe Biden got more votes in Detroit, Flint, Michigan than Barack Obama did. However, that obviously was the outcome of that race. So you think about it.
But
you
I have to challenge the premise that the United States citizens aren't safe under Joe Biden. Where has Russia harmed one hair on the head of an American? Where has China encroached on the freedoms of the citizens of this nation? Where is that taking
place? Have you heard of intellectual property theft?
Absolutely.
Have you heard of Russia getting European oil contracts? That directly affects our pocketbook, Earl. The intellectual theft of our intellectual properties are being stolen by China.
The theft of intellectual property by China was happening under George Bush.
It was happening under Donald Trump.
So I know, but you imply as if Donald Trump was a strong man and that America was safer under Donald Trump.
Obviously, he was, because North Korea was not firing off rockets.
So North Korea
and China was not swarming around Taiwan. Russia would have never invaded Ukraine.
So
anybody knows that, Earl. You know that.
So, Pastor Bryant, I had a Chinese gentleman on yesterday, and we were talking about Taiwan. And about whether or not the United States government and whether the United States people would support one foot soldier to risk his life if China invaded Taiwan. You know, it's easy to talk and act as if these things are real. But the United States of America is not going to put any American citizen in harm's way if China takes back Taiwan. That gonna happen.
Oh, so you feel as though China has the right to take back Taiwan. Well, Joe Biden doesn't feel out of his own mouth, he said that American troops would, in fact, defend Taiwan. Now, who's in charge, Joe Biden or someone else?
So he can say whatever it is he wants to say. And I'm telling you that the United States of America is not going to endanger American soldiers' lives to defend Taiwan. Because if that's the case, if that is the case, sir, then and we talk about what's happening in Ukraine, and we talk about why we're involved and why we get engaged in things, who would think it makes sense, to risk a war with a nuclear power over what happens in Taiwan? Come on, man.
Earl. When we talk about protecting Taiwan, we're talking about protecting America. Listen, the goods
Taiwan
that are made
is not America, okay?
Of course not. But the goods and our interest are American. And Taiwan is one of our interests. Does anybody believe that the Chinese would be making this move against an American interest the way they are if Donald Trump was still president of the United States?
So, no, they would not be. So let me challenge that premise, because this is what I've been saying for a long time, be it a Democrat president or a Republican president. The America's interests all over this world, people need to ask the questions, what are we talking about our interests?
You don't know what our interests are?
Listen, I know what our interests are. My issue is and my question is why? We make up only 4% of the global population, sir. And so,
and without and yet, us, and yet, the rest of the world falls apart.
And so
without
listen.
Us, the rest of the world falls apart. Listen, Earl, an Eastern Bloc refugee came to me after a speech I did in Bend, Oregon, one of the most blue places on the planet, or at least in America. Bend, Oregon. He came to me after I gave the speech there, just about a year ago now. He asked me, CL, if America goes away, if the way that we do business goes away around the globe, if America goes away and people hear me, where do people go? And it was a very simple question, but it's very profound because it opens the American eye as to how the rest of the world looks at our strength and how they depend upon it. You can stick your head in the sand and think that if we just took care of our own selves here within our own shores,
that's what Donald Trump
will be
said,
hunky-dory.
It is Donald Trump who said America first. So let me say this
to you.
Isn't
your household first? Of course it is.
Let me say this to you. America is in the world. America is not the world. And because of
America
that way of thinking,
is the foundational freedom bearer of the world, Earl.
So
that's what it is.
So don't you understand?
If it goes away, where do people go?
So don't you understand?
Where do all those people coming across our borders
go if they can't come to America? Don't you understand that it is that way of thinking that has us spending almost $900 billion a year on military instead of doing what is necessary to make sure that the American people can live a standard of life that we are deserving.
It is the military that provides that measure of safety for American people to
live their American lives because of that way of thinking that we are going to, if you don't do what we say,
it's
we'll crush you.
That way of thinking that has kept us as the greatest nation on this planet for 245 years.
You and I didn't talk about how long you'd stay, but I'm enjoying the conversation. Can you go through one more break? I'm having fun. All right, when we come back, Joe, you're up next. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I'm so glad to have my guests, Pastor C.O. Bryant and Joe McNally, award-winning journalist. Joe, what do you say?
I'm happy to get back in this conversation with CL, and I'm glad that he brought up America as a shining beacon of democracy for the world. and boy, I am sure glad that after only 4 years, the world democracies who were watching his administration in shock and were appalled at his attempt to destroy American democracy, how relieved they were when Joe Biden was elected. I was a little surprised that CL was describing one of the reasons that America has been a shining beacon to the world has been immigration. And the one thing that Donald Trump tried to shut down across our southern border and make no longer a possibility of people fleeing violence and poverty and gangs and Central and South America, fleeing for their lives with their children, walking literally across countries to get to the U.S. And somehow Pastor Brian thinks that the U.S. is still supposed to be a shining beacon to those people, even though he as himself opposes immigration across that border. One of the reasons it really has been that beacon is has been the example of democracy. Things that Donald Trump tried to destroy and his violent supporters tried to overthrow, that was rejected in the midterms. And trying to restrict voting rights further in America, he keeps ignoring that. He says, well, you know, we don't have election integrity in this country because people don't believe that the elections were honest. You know why? Because Donald Trump and Republicans have repeatedly told them that they aren't. And that is why. And they repeatedly told them if we lose an election, it was rigged, it was stolen. Donald Trump is a congenital pathological liar. And everyone in America really knows that. Democrats are doing something about it. Republicans are laughing about it. They call that owning the libs. You know, if he just lies about everything, including the elections that he lost, the election that he clearly lost by 7 million votes in the largest vote in American history, the largest presidential defeat in American history, you know, it's not a joke. And trying to destroy democracy in America is not a joke. Trying to foment racial hatred, open racial hatred, the kind of things that I hadn't heard since I was a child in Indiana, telling black people to go back where they came from when they are American citizens. That came out of the mouth of the President of the United States. And that gave everyone permission to hate and to hate race, to hate African Americans, to hate Latinos, deny religion, freedom of religion, and freedom to vote in America. That's appalling. And it's about time that both parties started supporting American democracy.
Pastor?
I'm actually flabbergasted that this man who has twisted everything around in his facts is an award-winning journalist. But I'm not surprised of that type of journalism when it comes from the left. I'm very surprised at that because most of the things that he said are absolutely patently untrue. First of all, Donald Trump is not a racist. Again, ask Oprah. He's not a racist.
Ask who?
I know Donald Trump.
Ask who?
Ask Oprah. Ask Oprah. Ask Oprah. She'll tell you he's not a racist. She'll tell you he's not a racist. But anyway, on the other hand, when he's talking about destroying democracy, it's defending the rule of law. And the rule of law is simply this, that we defend our borders. Sure, I'm all in favor of whoever wants to come to America, come to America. Come on. But come through the front door. Earl, I would not put up with anybody setting camp in my backyard. There's no way that that's going to happen. But what's happening now, when you call the police, if there's somebody in your backyard, they're not coming. That's the problem. That's destroying American democracy. Defending our borders and stopping people from coming into this country unchecked, unknown, and unbeknownst to us where their locations is not hate. That is love of your country. And when we talk about even nationalism, a word that the uninformed will very well take out of context, I'm a nationalist. I love America above any other nation on this planet. Ask Bibi Netanyahu what the word nationalism means. There is not a bigger nationalist in the world than Bibi Netanyahu. Why? Because he simply loves Israel, prefers Israel over any other nation in the world. Why? It's because it's his nation. I'm a nationalist. I'm an American. This is my country. And so I want to defend it and my children against those who come here with interest, not fleeing. Listen, those people who are pouring across our borders are leaving for a better life. And if America goes away, where do those people go? That is the question.
You know, Pastor Bryant, my phone lines are full with people who want to at least have a dialogue with you. You got one more minute.
I simply want to tell everybody, go to my show, vclbryantshow.com. It's a free download. We're on the nation's largest talk platform, Red State Talk Radio, coast to coast and border to border, 12:05 noon until 2
okay.
p.m.
Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, Texas, at the same number. My guests are C.L. Bryan and Joe McNally. Let me quickly go through the callers. Be brief. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Tom, thank you for holding. You have a question for Pastor C.L. Bryan or Joe McNally. Go ahead.
For Pastor. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. The only difference, I think, between Pastor and I is that, Pastor, it sounds to me like you're more about the individual than you are about the collective. Would you say that that's true?
We don't achieve things as a collective people. I believe we achieve things first as individuals, and the idea then draws in those who agree with you. That's democracy. That's the American way, as far as concerned. I think everything begins in the mind of one individual, and then he's able to sell that idea through free market principles to others who agree with him. And that's, I know that we have the right to disagree in this country. At least we should have the right to disagree. But with that, we must first be heard. And that's all that any of us want to be, is heard. And not necessarily agreed with, but at least hear me. And that's all I'm asking.
Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to CJ from Stoughton. CJ, thank you for waiting. You say what?
Thank you, Earl, and your yes. I'd like to say that I've been having this argument or debate with Earl for years, and I believe we're safer and more prosperous as under a Republican president. And we look across the world. The pastor is right. Nobody invaded Ukraine when Trump was the president. I don't like his personality, but I love his policies. The border is a disaster. Fentanyl's killing our kids left and right. And thank you, Pastor, for not drinking the Democratic Kool-Aid, because it's great to hear a black man actually stand up for America and believe in America, not to defund the police like our former candidates that worked for organizations like Mandela Barnes that believed in defunding the police. Our country is in disarray. We're more divided after electing a black man twice, and this president even more. He's supposed to be the uniter. That's what he ran on. He's the great divider. And if we're talking about embezzling money, the big guy, I want accountability on
all right.
both parties.
Okay, thank you very
it's
much, CJ.
Family.
Pastor Bryant, you want to respond?
Yes, of course. I want to respond. I thank that patriot, CL Bryant.
CJ,
hey,
CJ.
Folks, all of you, I'm CL Bryant, award-winning film star and creator of the movie Runaway Slave. I'm immortalized on canvas by world-renowned artist John McNaughton and three different paintings. I have my own television show, former NAACP president in Garland, Texas. I've seen both sides of the street, been black all my life. I know what I'm talking about. I've seen it. My parents were civil rights activists, contemporaries of Dr. King, brought him to Shreveport, Louisiana back in 1959. I know what I'm saying. I've seen both. I've written on the back of buses. I've drank from colored and white water fountains. There's nothing that you're talking about that I don't have a clear view of. Go ahead.
So you and I are the same age. I'm 68 years old. And so I know what America is. I know what it has been. You and I have experienced basically the exact same thing. So I understand that. But let's do this. Let's go quickly to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning, Eric. Thank you very much for the call. You want to say what?
Hello, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. I'm kind of, I wrote myself a note. CJ is going to love this guy. So let me just say that first. That was predictable. I'm wondering if I'm kind of debating between two things, whether Pastor Bryant here is the pastor of upsuasion or the minister of disinformation. I'm not sure which one is more appropriate. But I'd like to ask him, as he talked about being a Democrat and changing over, without asking him exactly why, I'd like to ask him as a former NAACP president how it feels to now be mostly a pariah in the black community. And I'd like to say how it feels also, ask him how it feels to be a toady for a twice impeached president who casually took top secret documents to his home, and yet he still supports this man. And I'm wondering if maybe Pastor Bryant is the guy you see at rallies that wears the Blacks for Trump t-shirt and jumps around behind Trump when he's talking on stage, because that's what he seems to be.
That's a different guy. But thank you very much for the call, Pastor Bryant.
I'm an American businessman. My father was as well, and he was a World War II veteran who fought for this country. My grandfather, World War I. My great-grandfather, the Spanish-American War. So I have a very good idea of why they did what they did for me. And that's what it is. I know that there's not a picture on the wall of our past that we can move around. I know that the name calling and all that type of thing goes along with the stance that I have taken. Unfortunately, black men, black women in this country who happen to differ with the agenda of the Democrat Party are often vilified. But my question would be, why can't I have my opinion without being vilified for it? That's the whole idea, Earl. Why can't I say something different than what they want me to say without being vilified?
So I agree with you on that, Pastor Bryant, and that's why I have you on the air, because people are entitled to their own opinions, no question whatsoever.
Black people should be, black young men should be, and believe it or not, you'd be surprised how many black people in their closets agree with me as far as that's concerned. My movie, Runaway Slave, it started what we now know as the black, the modern black conservative movement. They're the very idea that I would somehow want to destroy democracy when I have three ancestors who, in fact, fought for it, who were black men, all of them, from Louisiana. And they didn't even know that people wore shoes year round until they went to the military, that type of thing. And so having drank from the colored and white water fountains, having ridden on the back of the bus, Negro Day at the State Fair in Louisiana, all of these things are part of what I have witnessed with my own eyes. But I can tell you this, America is not that anymore. It's simply not. And I don't know why we fall for the idea, especially when we see cities that have been burned down. I had a friend in Kenosha right there that I had invested money into, a black business that was burned down. By whom? By black rioters.
So
we don't talk about that. We talk about Black Lives Matter, but we don't talk about how they destroy things.
Are you saying now that America is fair and equitable, and racism and discrimination and all those things are gone? Are you really
there
trying to say
no
that?
There is no fair and equitable, and there
why
is
not?
No lack of there is no lack of racism throughout the world. It never has been.
Yeah, but this is
never
America.
Has been.
But this is where we live. Okay,
we live here, but we don't live in the '50s anymore. We don't live in the '50s anymore, Earl. We don't live there anymore. anymore. And I defy you to tell me that we are living in times that were as bad as the time that you and I grew up in. I don't know if you grew up in the South or not.
No, I didn't.
But I've known real racists. I have known real Klansmen. And I'm telling you that the rhetoric that is being spewed out of some of these people, as far as modern-day America is concerned, is not consistent with our past.
So
we have evolved from there,
so
Earl.
Pastor
we
Brown,
have.
Hang on 1 second. Gene from Eclaire. Good morning, Gene. You say what?
Holy moly. I don't know where you got your education in religion, sir, but that's not what I taught in Sunday school. I have to tell you something here, sir. You know, I really appreciate your point of view, but having watched the insurrection, having watched those horrifying ads against Mandela Barnes, making him darker than he was, connecting him to the Kenosha, what happened in Kenosha and other places, was sickening to me. That Ron Johnson, who weren't afraid of the rioters, but were afraid of blacks breaking in, come on. My goodness sakes alive, I'm going to pray for you tonight. This isn't reality. You may have risen above the fray, sir, and I pray for you, but this is not what I've learned in Sunday school. A man who lies nonstop, a man who spells false witness against thy neighbor, and I'm talking about Trump, the man who carries the Bible upside down, the man who laughs at religious people. Give me a break, sir. Give me a break.
Hey,
us women, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't mean to be rude because I really appreciate your opinion. But please reconsider. Please look at everything you've said. Please look at your stance in life and how you look at it, because we're all looking at it in a different way where we've watched and observed and been witnessed.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call, Gene. Pastor, you want to respond to anything she said?
Let me speak to that January 6th thing. There were 200 people that had broken off from the crowd to go and do the stupid thing.
Only 200?
That was 200 people, Earl. And let me say this. Let me finish my thought. Listen, the Capitol building of the United States cannot be breached unless someone wants it breached.
Yeah, there was some inside involvement. There was some inside involvement, no question.
Guess who is in charge of Capitol security? It's not Donald Trump. It's Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, so you're going to blame that on Nancy Pelosi?
I'm not blaming anyone. I'm telling you the truth. That's a fact. How come the Capitol Police were not reinforced the way they should have been? That was not Donald Trump's place to do that.
So you're not telling me that the issue should be that somebody inside allowed this to occur and not the fact that Donald Trump sent these people.
Telling you that our national capital is practically impregnable if, in fact, that many people were trying to encroach upon it. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And that is not something that you can lay on the president at that time of the United States.
Well, you mentioned Nancy Pelosi, sir.
Down there peacefully.
But you mentioned Nancy Pelosi. Joe.
Nancy Pelosi was in charge of Capitol Security because she's Speaker of the House.
Joe, you want to respond?
Period.
Joe?
I would love to respond. Your previous caller
Gene.
Before the good pastor started with his absurd answer to her, said exactly what needed to be said. You are a fraud, Pastor. You really are. And I'm just really sorry to say that. To talk about Donald Trump as a man of character and not a racist. Everyone in America knows that Donald Trump is a racist. They heard him spread hatred of black and brown people. They know that. And like I say, many Republicans, white Republicans, have taken that as a license for them to say the same thing and do the same thing. They called it telling it like it is. And that's what they really liked about Donald Trump. And you respond with all of the Republican right-wing talking points. I know that they have made you a lot of money. And as an entertainer, and you're probably in demand for speeches around the country. Actually, the former sheriff of Milwaukee County,
yeah, David Clark,
who was also a black man, found a whole career to go speaking to racist audiences around the country and being praised by white racists saying, "Thank God that here you are, a black man, saying all the same things that we've always said." And I know that's a great career move. I know that it is for some black people, but ultimately you did come, you said, from a civil rights family. You came from proud people that fought for the right to vote in this country. And they know that they still do not have it secured. Every black person in America knows that. You said, yes, you said, well, yeah, racism exists. Boy, does it ever. And for the first time, we had a president of the United States who made those people feel great. I live in Charlottesville, Virginia. President Trump's election was celebrated here by the Klansmen you speak as if once existed in this country. No, we saw them here in Charlottesville. We saw American Nazis who basically had gatherings here and wore their Nazi armbands, carried torches, marched on the University of Virginia to abuse students and to chant, "Jews will not replace us." And you know what else they said that wasn't very widely reported? They had a call and response, which you will know from the black church. They said, "Jews will not replace us," and then the response was, "Into the ovens." Those were the Trump supporters that were here in 2017 after Donald Trump's election, celebrating his election. David Duke, a man from Louisiana, your state, was here in 2017 celebrating Donald Trump's election. And you go on the air of Earl's show and shows all over America and make speeches all over America praising the president that Donald Duke, a former grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, was here celebrating his election and leading a violent riot on the city that killed people. And I'm just appalled by you, and I'm appalled by the way you've chosen to make your career.
Pastor?
This man knows nothing of me or my background or my contributions. I'm basically a libertarian as far as that's concerned. I vote for my pocketbook. There are people who are very nefarious on both sides of the aisle who support very crazy things. Clinton Gore was supported heavily by the KKK in Tennessee. There's no question about that. We can talk about who's racist and who's not. That does not help us in this conversation. Who's racist and who's not? God only knows what's in the hearts of men. But I know it's in my heart, and I have no place in my heart for racist or anything else of that nature. Taking the time to know both Clinton. I met Barack Obama on a couple of occasions, and I have great respect for him as far as that's concerned as a man.
You also mentioned that his two terms divided the nation.
I didn't say that. One of your callers said that.
Okay,
Earl.
I'm sorry.
No, one of your callers said that. I never said
okay,
that.
I apologize.
I didn't say Barack Obama divided the nation. I said Barack Obama left a lot of black folks unemployed. But that's a whole other conversation as far as that's concerned. We can argue that back and forth. The fact of the matter is, if America goes away, where do people go? The very people that people who have called into the show today are saying, looking for refuge. If our way of life goes away, what's the point in them coming here?
You know, Pastor, why I have to challenge you is, you know, you have Pastor before C.L. Bryant, pastor.
Three churches for 40 years.
Okay, so my issue is, you know, as someone who's read the Bible numerous times and spent a lot of time in the church and around many other pastors, rarely, if ever, have I heard them talk about their pocketbooks. Anywhere in the Bible that I've read, it doesn't talk about pocketbooks. It talks about the people. It talks about
the Bible always. Christ himself spoke of counting the cost.
It talks about,
and that is exactly what all of us are doing now. We're counting the cost of being American.
It talks about the least of these, my people. Here's where I have a difference. Here's where I have a difference.
That's right.
Here's where I have a difference.
I can't help the least of these if I don't have anything.
So, Pastor,
you understand? And right now, Americans are at that point where they can't help themselves because they don't have anything in their pocket. I'm one of the most generous people known on record to helping poor people.
Why do people not have anything in their pockets? Let's go back.
Because of the policies of this administration right now, this chicken is high, pork is high, gas is high. The reason people don't have anything in their pockets is because of the policies that we are following in this country at this point.
Are you honestly saying, and not tongue in cheek, that the fact that 50% of this nation is struggling and one paycheck away from the poorhouse, is that only occurred over the last 2 years? Then you would be dishonest.
I am saying that this was not the way it was 2 years ago. Anybody with any common sense can tell you that. Your grandchildren,
Pastor,
Earl, will tell you this Christmas that it wasn't like last Christmas.
Pastor,
they'll tell you that.
I lived 2 years ago, too, just like you. Right? Okay. So I didn't just wake up in 2020. You know, I lived for the last 68 years like you lived for the last 67. And so,
but you woke up in 2022 this morning, and gas prices are nearly 50% higher than they were.
So now let's have a legitimate conversation about what created it. Okay, let's talk about the fact that we are at war in Ukraine. I mean, we're not at war, but the world is being impacted and affected by the war in Ukraine. Let's talk about the facts that inflation is all over this world. Inflation is not just in America. It's
Earl, you just said earlier that we live in America. I don't care what inflation is like all over the world.
Well,
I care inflation is like in America.
I know, but if you don't care about, and you want to blame a man, the president of the United States, for the inflation.
I'm not blaming Joe Biden. Biden doesn't have a clue what's going on. Biden doesn't have a clue what's going on in his own office.
You keep making the statement, sir, that over the last 2 years, all of these things changed.
Right.
And you leave.
Ask anybody who's listening to their show, to your show, are they better off now than they were then, and then ask them why.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Because you want to omit what took place with COVID, which started under Donald Trump and which has been proven that it got to the degree.
And guess what?
Let me finish my statement. And so where Donald Trump poo-pooed COVID, basically said it was nothing, it was going to go away. How many different times did he say it? That's documented. He dismissed
How many
it.
Times were we told that this would only take about 2 weeks for business to shut down? How many times were we told that by the Fauci, administration,
down,
that was the case? It turned out to be a lie.
To say that
Americans
business,
were lied to, and we were herded into our homes.
Pastor Barrett,
we were herded off of our businesses
Why, Pastor Barrett, to say that the epidemic at the height of it, here's the reality of why it's hard to even accept what it is you and others like you are saying. When all of these people were dying, more people died in this nation from COVID, only 4% of the global population, than all the rest of the places around the world. Why? Because the Because the president of the United States, Donald Trump, at that time, dismissed it as folly. And when Joe Biden came in, don't forget where we were, sir. And so it was an epidemic, a full-blown epidemic, people dying like flies. And so the government had to be shut down to get it under control. And so
it is not. It never got under control, Earl.
It's under control.
And the shot did, and listen, the shot did not work, Earl.
You can say that.
No, everybody tells us to follow the science. Okay, I followed the science, and the science we couldn't believe. Then I followed the money, and that's where I found the science. The science was in the money, Earl, and you know that.
So,
the science was in the money. Fauci got incredibly wealthy lying to the American people, and that has been proven.
Man, listen, I love you. I appreciate that you've taken this amount of time with us. I never even imagined that it would be this much time. And so, we got to reach back out to you, sir. How can people get in touch with you?
Bill, you can reach out to me, C.L. Bryant. Just go to my show, the C.L. Bryant Show. Go to freedomworks.org, freedomworks.org, and become a part of the largest organization building, educating, mobilizing the largest network of activists in this country. And it's not about the democracy. It's about the republic, a representative republic that we are. People take the time to understand who we are as Americans. We don't know our own story, and we certainly haven't told it. I'm CL. Follow me on Twitter at Rev, R-E-V, C-L,
Brian.
I look forward to talking to you.
I love you, and we'll do it again.
We'll do it again, Earl.
All right, thank you. Joe, hang on. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll go back at it after the break. Be right back. Welcome back to Election Day edition of the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can text us. It's at the same number. Maggie Dawn, corporate counsel for Milwaukee County, and the Dawn of Resistance is still here. Let's go to the phone lines. And Corinna from Milwaukee. Good morning, Corinna. How are you? Thank you very much for the call. You say what? Corinna?
I think it's Karina.
Oh, Karina?
Yeah, you there?
Okay, put her on hold. Let's go to CJ.
Morning. CJ? Good morning, Earl.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Earl and Maggie. This is going to be a great day. We're all exercising our democracy. And if distraction is what you love, that's... And I feel bad because Maggie usually doesn't understand my sense of humor or get it, but...
Do you have one?
Oh, I got a great one, Earl. But I tell you what, the false narrative that your party has been showing for the last 2 or 3 months, trying to play catch-up on the real issues that are concerning Americans, your party is in the tank. That's why you don't want this president, who's the worst president ever in our history, in 2 short years.
Including Donald Trump?
Yeah, I know the 1.4 inflation, really, we missed that, don't we? We hated that, didn't we, Earl?
CJ, just inflation a question about inflation. Do you, how much role, CJ, do you think a president plays in the inflation rate? Like total control, 100%,
no,
half, no. Some.
But this President Biden and do-nothing Vice President Harris on day one attacked our energy policy. We were independent till this guy got in office.
No, well, first of all, no, we weren't. That's just not true. What, you don't think Saudi Arabia and OPEC cutting oil production by 2 billion gallons has an impact on prices here?
I can say it did, but the mere fact that this guy...
So it does. So there are things outside of the Democratic Party's control or the...
We had natural gas through fracking. Remember, who's the guy that's running in...
So isn't fracking, I mean, fracking is continuing. It's not like Biden came in and on January 21st there was no fracking.
You didn't hear his gaffe this weekend, Maggie?
I'm just asking you a question. Does fracking continue right now, today? Do we continue to produce oil in this country?
Why does gas matter, man? Who ever gaffed more than George Bush Jr.? Why does that matter?
Why does what matter?
Gas. Gas. No, gas.
Misspeaking.
You said gas.
Misspeaking.
Oh, okay. Well, both. All of them are a plus for our economy. And it hurts lower income people more, Earl. Look at diesel. Diesel fuel.
But,
record.
But my point, CJ, is you cannot. You cannot. It is simply false. It is simply false.
Okay, you
to place
that,
to place the entirety of blame on a political party for inflation. That is not how macroeconomics works. It just isn't. I know that that's not a convenient truth. It's an inconvenient truth, but that's not how it works. Fracking didn't stop on January 21st. It continues to this day. Oil production, offshore oil production, did not stop on January 21st. It continues in this country.
Hey, CJ, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to line five. Who is line five, man? Who's on line five?
Just called in.
I know. Who is it? Just
I'm not
put
sure.
Them on.
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Yes. Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't hear a producer.
Okay. All right. But now.
I think the problem is I just, listen, I'm an average citizen, been listening to your radio station, enjoying the discussion. This is what I'm going to kind of rephrase what the previous caller is asking or stating, and that is I just explain to me, I look at it very simply, cause and effect. Unemployment in the black community was at its lowest during Donald Trump.
That was a lie.
That's not true.
That's a lie, man.
Well,
untrue.
Okay, I'm going based on what the few friends, black friends that I have. I used to live and work in the community. And that's if you want to deal with that as a perception, that's fine. But what isn't a perception and what is real and what I'm not hearing, it's fine if you want to go all in on that our democracy was taken away during Trump and that is at risk now. If you want to run with that as a political narrative, that is fine. But what about the inflation? And yes, the a bill that was supposed to deal with inflation, in fact, because of the spending, we do have, you recognize, we do have $31 trillion in debt that generates a lot of interest and therefore requires printing of money and is...
That isn't how that works, but let's just...
Well, then explain it to me, ma'am.
Okay, super. We don't print money to pay our national debt. That doesn't work. We do have to debt finance, but it doesn't work like debt finance works for a household, especially when you have an economy that's as large as the United States. The number one driver of our deficit is not entitlement programs, it's military spending. If we wanted to cut our government spending, that would be a good place to look for efficiencies. I'm not talking about undermining veteran care. Every veteran deserves better health care than they get. Here's a fact. During the first 2 years of President Biden's administration, we added 9 million jobs. That is more than any modern Republican presidency when the Republican held both houses of Congress. 9 million jobs. Inflation and all of these impacts that we see happening that do affect our kitchen table, meaning how much we pay for gas and how much our groceries cost. All of these things are subject to a whole wide array of policies that a single president or political party are not solely responsible for, including a lot of the impacts of what's going on by Russia and the disruption of supply chains that came during COVID. Frankly, one can make a pretty logical argument that Trump's complete mishandling of COVID made all of those issues so much worse in America that a lot of those things can be placed at the feet of Donald Trump in terms of the supply chain and continued supply demand misfit that we see right now that is driving prices up.
First of all, I disagree with the printing of money, but you do understand that the level of debt has to be addressed through the funding of interest, and those interest payments have to be met by increasing taxes.
Listen, I wish we had more time. We've got to go to a break.
We don't have enough jobs.
I know, listen, we've got to go to a break. Thank you very much for the call. All of you guys, hang on. We'll come back on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, Election Day edition of the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back.